Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer some useful nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, no matter how contrary that might seem, just like this nightingale, the bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I'm so glad that you could join me today. How are you doing for time? Do you feel it's running away from you? That you never have the time to finish all those chores you have? Is the stress of meeting deadlines making you ill? Well, today's guest will hopefully help you change all of that. Vicky Louise is a business and time coach, the feminist time coach, in fact. And later on, she'll explain exactly why she calls herself that. Her approach to time is pretty simple. Time doesn't need to be managed. It's the same every day. It's our brains that we need to manage. Now, she teaches women around the world how to take control of their working week and how to be as productive in a 15, that's 15-hour week, as in a 40-hour slog. That gives you 60% more time back in your life. Think of that. Vicky went from punishing 80-hour work weeks and battling burnout in the corporate world to working just 15 hours per week herself, all the while scaling her income. She now has a young baby and applies the same approach to home life as she does work. She hosts the Hack Your Time podcast, and I was delighted to interview her recently and find out more. My first question was pretty straightforward. First question, right? You talk about time hacking. What is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a fun question. So when I think about hacking generally, like the general meaning behind hacking, it's like there's a way to do something. And then hacking is like going in the back door, finding an alternative route that gets you there, I think, faster. So we think about like life hacks or time hacks. And so hacking time, how I teach it, is it's the opposite of time management. Like if you want to optimize your time, don't do things that are going to take up time and take you away from results. For example, write, you know, with traditional time management, we're taught to write down long lists, put those long lists in our calendar, color code them. And then when we've accidentally not done them all in a day because we've overestimated what we can do as humans, which is very common, just move them to tomorrow. And then we've got too much to do tomorrow and then move them to the next day. And we end up constantly behind, busy, stressed. So what I teach my clients is how to hack time. And with that, you know, how do we optimize our mindset and how we're thinking? How do we optimize our decision making and how we are making decisions for the long term, not the short term? And how do we optimize our relationship with fear and failure so that we actually achieve more in a single day than most people do in a month?
Well, that sounds great. I need to speak to you about that later, I think. But no, seriously, it sounds really interesting. And, you know, if we could all do that, fantastic. But, you know, in a sense, really, it is just about how we, in our own minds, decide that we're going to go about stuff, isn't it? Because time's just really a construct anyway, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it's even funny when you think about how different time zones were created. And across the US, they used to have like so many different time zones and all different times because people just decided what time of day it was. And it only became synchronized into the East Coast, the Pacific, because of trains. So exactly, time itself, what I think is we give time way too much credit and way too much responsibility when we say things like, oh, it was just right time, right place. It's like, no, you did something, you achieved something, yes. Not time. And then with the responsibility side, we say like, oh, it's not the right time, or I don't have enough time. And what I teach my clients, what we work on in Time Hackers, is what if it's not time? What if we eliminate the T word completely? If it doesn't take time to heal all wounds or get over an ex or launch the business or scale to six figures, what does it take? Because many entrepreneurs, for example, will start a business today, but not all of them will reach the same milestones at the same time. So it's not time that produces the results.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. It is interesting, isn't it? Yeah, we do put a lot of set a lot of store by time. So, and it occurs to me when you're talking about it doesn't take time for things to happen. It's what you do. And I'm thinking about healing, for instance. Now, you know, people say, oh, you know, time heals. Well, no, time isn't actually the thing that does the healing, because some people can heal in an instant. And we've seen that. We've seen examples of that. So, yeah, look at what's behind that, what's actually being done to cause the effect. Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, sometimes we're not actively doing the thing to do the healing. Or I think about, as you know, I had a baby and he came out at 8 months, not 9 months, right? Yes, so yes. Whatever was cooking, whatever in my body, I didn't do a thing to make him come. I wasn't like, magic, I want him to come out today. To be honest, I probably would have preferred him in for a bit longer, but it was what it was. And he came out at 8 months. He was ready. There were things happening in my body that I didn't understand, but it wasn't the passing of time. Otherwise, we would say, this is the day that you're going to have the baby. And that would be the day that we had the baby. And that probably happens. I don't know the stats, but I would be amazed if it happened more than 10% of the time.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know the figures either, but, you know, we're told that our gestation period is 9 months and we hold to that so dearly. But how many women have I heard over the years talking about how the baby did not arrive on the due date, but we set so much store by the due date, don't we?
Yes, and exactly, and we do exactly the same thing in work and in our offices, because we've developed from what I call the factory mindset. When we think about, I mean, I'm from, you know, near Lancashire, and you know, a lot of like the cotton mills, for example, and we used to clock in and clock out, and we were paid by our hours worked. That was how you managed a huge, you know, staff of factory workers, which, I mean, most of us are not anymore. Most people listening to this are not anymore, but we still think in terms of hours. How long, you know, how much is this? Well, how long is it going to take? Instead of how much is this? Well, what's the value of that thing?
Yeah, and we still talk about 8-hour days as well, don't we? That sort of thing. And, you know, 30, whatever it is, hour weeks.
40, I mean.
40-something hour, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I am, a lot of my work is centered around unlearning the way that we're taught to structure how we work, because especially as women, we've inherited a way of work that was created before we were a significant part of the workplace. And we're actually the growing, we're the growers in terms of the workplace and our socioeconomic influence, but we've inherited, you know, mindsets, time rules, time structures that were inconsiderate of us because we weren't working at that time. Or if we were, it wasn't legal for us to have our own businesses or our own finances. So there was no consideration of women's cycles and how we work. And that's why I think we're seeing, unfortunately, so many women. When we first got in, we're like kicking up the doors down, let us in, give us a seat at the table. And now it's like, oh, that table doesn't work for me. Yeah. That table tires me out. It exhausts me. It requires me to show up in a way that isn't in line with my natural rhythm as I try and prove myself. And we don't need to anymore. Like, we are at this beautiful stage where, well, it's still beginning, I would say, but like I said, we're growing in our socioeconomic influence. We're growing the number of female CEOs and founders and C-suite executives and leaders. And are we doing it in a way where we are choosing how we lead, or are we doing it in a way where we are still inheriting how we lead?
Yeah, that's fascinating to me because, you know, you see so many women who actually suffer burnout because they've been forcing themselves to work in this way that's been handed down, prescribed, not by other women, but by men who, I guess, do work in a different way and have different biorhythms, different cycles, that sort of thing. And I know from my own point of view, I cannot do a 9-to-5. Much as I try, sometimes I just can't do it. And I often, for instance, find myself working way into the night because I'm a night owl, and that's when it suits me to work. And the work that I do, I work better when it's quieter. I don't have emails bombarding me, when I don't have phone calls. It suits me better. And I don't see anything wrong with working that way. A lot of people kind of look at me and say, oh, no, you know, you shouldn't be working late into the night. No, that's when I work. That's when I like to work.
I think the issue with that I see most common is because we have been guilted and shamed into not working at night or in our natural flow, we then work the 9 to 5 and then the nighttime. And that's what I would say, like, if anyone is doing that, like, I know it's terrifying to go against the grain and be the black sheep, but really, like, listening to your natural rhythms, working how you want to work, is how you just achieve so much more, enjoy life more, create spaciousness. Like, I love, one of the things that I loved when I went from employment to entrepreneurship was I didn't have to go to the supermarket on a weekend when it was busy.
Yes.
Who wants to do that? I love going during the week when it's like empty. I mean, it's less empty now because more people are doing this, but you know, it's like, enjoy those things. A lot of us go into entrepreneurship and we bring this like employee mindset and employee, like almost indoctrinated way of doing things. And we make everything else wrong instead of like, no, you've chosen to work a different way. Own it, even though it's going to be uncomfortable. And I mean, we could speak about the discomfort of rest as well as a big part of it.
Definitely want to. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like the discomfort isn't a stop sign.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting. And then, you know, talking about your title, the feminist time coach. So is this where the feminist idea comes from? Is this where you decided that, you know, this really is a feminist issue?
Yeah, it's such a great question, because I think for a long time I felt a bit feminist and I was like, I can't declare myself feminist because I'm not feminist enough, which is so funny now. you know, like as though there's a right type of feminist, which is so...
Well, yeah, I mean, I was going to say, what is a feminist anyway, in a sense? Because these days, you know, who knows what that really means? Yeah,
exactly. And so for me, actually, the turning point was when I got pregnant, and I am an entrepreneur and a successful one. So I'm fortunate and I've built communities and coaching that don't require me to coach clients 20 hours a week, which is how I started. I'm not there anymore. Because when I went, having some medical implications. And when I went to the doctor, he told me I had to stop working for 3 months. And my husband's was a full-time student at the time. So we're 100% on my income and all of that side of thing. And I just sat there and I said, that's fine. I could, you know, well, I work from home from a desk. He's like, you just need to take some time off. And I just remember thinking, if I was still working in London in the city, getting on the tube in my first trimester, so I shouldn't be telling anyone and I shouldn't be telling my work and I shouldn't be, what would I do? Like, seriously, what would I do? And my friends and peers in the US would lose their jobs. And it just hit me like, this is a feminist issue. This is an issue because of the decisions and the people at the top are not people that look like me. So that's when I embraced the feminist title and I realized I'm willing to be a messy feminist, because how we work does not serve women. And it's like, once I opened my eyes to it, I had conversations with peers or friends that were like, yeah, I mean, I was a lawyer. I spent my 20s working, you know, 80 plus hour weeks. And then I got pregnant and got pushed aside for promotion and told that I couldn't make partner because I wasn't available to socialize in the evening. So it's like, how is that okay? Like, where women are just being pushed aside or leaving or going on their own, you know, it's the best case scenario, because structurally we're not built to accommodate women becoming mothers or men becoming, you know, parents as well. Or even those of us that are neurodiverse, ADHD, anxiety, all of these things that are like not accommodated for. And we're ready to change. We need to bring how we work into the 21st century. And I think part of that is inviting feminism into the conversation. Absolutely.
Well, I think that sounds great. And so we're talking really about honouring ourselves, honouring our bodies, and knowing what it is that's right for us. And I mean, let's face it, we can make anything work. I mean, just because we're doing it a different way doesn't mean to say that we're not going to be successful.
I think the opposite, right? Like, I think we're going to be more successful when we take care of our employees, when we take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. My mum said it to me. She goes, well, you know, I think we were speaking about people being off sick. And I was like, you know, if companies just had a flexible sick day policy. And she's like, well, yeah, but it's not good for the company if someone's not doing their work. And I was like, okay, but the company that is flexible with their team gets more from them. They are more loyal to them. And then they're going to have less burnout, less sick days, because have you ever been sick, then tried to push through, then gotten more sick, because everyone has, and also lower staff turnover. I mean, there's so many benefits. Someone was telling me, like, the cost to replace a staff member that had left their job was like a third of their salary.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So retention is really important.
And it is so more so than like a sick day. Like, take the sick day. Don't come into work sick. This used to be a pet hate of mine. But I also did it because I was afraid to not be in. But someone comes into the office sick, and then 10 people get sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Yes. And some of our listeners might be in the United States, might be in North America. Mm-hmm. And for them, it you just cannot take time off very often, because there is, you know, that means you lose your job, basically.
Exactly. Isn't that horrific? Think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the rationale for that is touted as, you know, well, productivity, and, you know, we need our workers working. But
more
if you look
hours
at the,
equals more work.
More hours. Yeah, exactly. More hours equals more work. But if you look at the stats, I think it's plain to see that we don't suffer in terms of productivity by giving people holidays, sick days, time off when they need it.
I mean, standing ovation over here. Like, yeah. Absolutely. The data actually shows the complete opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, if we think about even like our brain and our creativity as a muscle, just like our physical body, when you are in the gym, it's known you do reps and then breaks, and it's known that the muscles actually build during the rest periods, right? You're not doing your legs every single day when you're working out in the gym. Yeah. It's not productive. So it's the same thing for us. We aren't productive by going. But it's very scary to not do what everyone else around you is doing. It's very scary for the leaders at these organizations to be the ones to say, actually, this isn't working for us. We're going to slow down. We're going to take care of our employees, and we're going to prioritize rest and health and, you know, people having balance outside of work, and not just gunning for all the hours, because you're looking around you and everyone else is still doing that.
Yeah, still doing all of that and becoming incredibly stressed in the process. Well, it's time for us to take a break from this interview now. We'll be back with more from Vicky Louise right after this from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest, Vicky Louise, the feminist time coach. And we were talking about how so many people feel that they have to be chained to their desks at work. But it's really hard for workers to do any different when employers have so many ways of monitoring them. I mean, some apps even show bosses when you're at your computer.
I know, it's like, how do we break so much trust? I think about this all the time, because all the monitoring and the checking in and the time sheets, because a lot of companies still operate that way, like you say, especially with flexible work. You know, it's like the opposite of trust. Like, how did we end up growing organizations without prioritizing a culture of trust? And what does it cost us? Thinking about productivity, what does it cost us? Because I can tell you, I'm just going to admit this, I'm not proud of it, but when I was in my early 20s, I was working in finance and it was very important to be seen there till later in the day. FaceTime was not an app on your phone. It was in the office. And I would sit at my desk scrolling the Daily Mail website, just like, I better just be here. Better to be here than not be here. This is like, you know, doing something enjoyable that probably would have motivated me more, or connected me more. Maybe I would have met someone and had an interesting conversation. Who knows? It could have led to more benefits for the company. Because I was trained to think that me being seen in that desk was the best thing for my career.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as you've said before, that's very much almost a male paradigm. You know, our working situation has to change. Those old structures are falling away, but it's almost like we're in a transition period.
Yes.
And so then the question is, how do we straddle that transition period? What are the things that we can do? Because it's very, I mean, we can't say to anybody, how dare we say to anybody, right, stop working that way, start working that way, when you know that, you know, that's going to be a big problem.
Yes. Well, I think it's about, you know, leadership and looking to our leaders. I think everything stems from the top. And for example, my Time Hackers program is traditionally, it's like 80% employees. And just now, we just announced yesterday, it went live in the press, that we're going into organizations and helping them. So is that entire thing, and we saw it as well with companies wanting the 4-day work week. You can't just take a day off employees and expect to change anything.
Yeah.
Right? Because all they end up doing then is working longer the rest of the days and feeling more stressed. I used to work for a French bank as well, and they have like way more holiday days there. But my peers there were like, no, it's really stressful when I'm working because I need to get all my work done in less time. And what we need to be thinking, instead of just cutting hours or chopping and changing days or making decisions and forcing our employees into a box, is how do we support them through that process?
Yeah.
How do we train them to think differently, to stop thinking that time equals results, to stop thinking that we just want more hours from them, to stop thinking that productivity has to come from this toxic place and the sacrifice of health? Like, how do we create trust between us and our employees, and, you know, shifting those cultures? And I do think it is about education and collaboration and conversation.
Yeah, and that's part of the work that you're doing right now. You're doing that work and trying to instill this new system of values into businesses so that we can be a far healthier and far more productive in a good way. You know, not just churning stuff out, but being really creative. Yeah. And let's not just, you know, look at business, because this kind of thing affects us all, doesn't it? I mean, you've just had a baby.
Yes. I was just going to say, you know, one of my clients, I said it to her, like, if results don't take time, then you don't have to feel bad for not spending every minute with your baby when you aren't working, because that's another way it shows up, exactly as you said. It's like, I must spend all my time with my baby. And then women are starved of time for themselves, and maybe other people as well, but I can speak to what I've seen in my clients and myself, is like, we just give our time out to everyone else and we genuinely don't have time for ourselves, versus like, I think there's a study that like 9 to 12 minutes of like focus, you know, time with you and your baby without the phone, without any distractions, like playing and interacting, like it's what they need to feel a connection to you, instead of, I must be available for them for the 17 hours while on my phone, while doing the washing, while doing the laundry, while, and they're just like, you know, there is an afterthought. I don't have the time to properly give to them because I'm doing all the other things. And that's one of the big things that I will say is, you know, this idea of multitasking and multi-doing, and we've got multi-roles. And the idea, a lot of people think time hacking is doing everything all at once. So like, one of my friends when I started, bless him, said, I time hack because I have like 3 screens in front of me at work. I'm like, that's the opposite of what I'm saying. Thank you.
I love that. It had to be a man who said that, right? Sorry, men who are listening. We love you. But
yeah, love you.
There are differences in the way we approach things. Yeah. Yeah, it is about taking the time. See, even the language, taking the time. Right? It's really interesting how we approach it, isn't it? So, you know, when you say you're a mother, you've got children, what would you suggest instead of, you know, really making yourself, you know, almost sick by trying to do a million things at once and look after the baby or the children? What are the things that you would suggest to a mother or even a new mother as you are in terms of, you know, how do you cope with that?
One of the biggest things that that has come up countless times with working with mums is this idea that we have to, like, I have to do the laundry, I have to play with my baby, I have to respond to emails, I have to get the blinds changed, I have to. Just reframing that away from, like, this is what you're choosing to do, because some people don't play with their babies. Some people don't get the blinds changed. Some people don't respond to emails. And just owning that we are powerful, instead of we disempower ourselves by using that have to or need to language. So that is one thing that I would share that everyone can just apply. Like, why are you choosing to do that? Why are you choosing to spend time with your kid? Why are you choosing to do that work? Why are you choosing to do the laundry? I actually saw, this is too much, but I saw on Instagram, I think, someone sharing that this experiment where they didn't wash their jeans for 10 months
Ooh.
and the bacteria on it at the end was like tiny. So it was like, we don't, I'm not saying don't wash your baby's clothes. I'm not saying that, but
Oh
it's like,
no, but no, but listen, I've seen similar things. You know, I've seen people wearing the same woolen because wool's a natural fiber which is naturally resistant to all the, you know, bacteria and stuff like that. You know, without washing for I don't know how many days, you know, just every day for and it's fine.
it's fine. I mean, I'll tell you, if my baby doesn't spit up or whatever, we put him in the same outfit for 2 days.
Of course. Well, I'm old enough to remember when I was a child and we did wear our clothes 2 or 3 days running, right? You know, it's almost like a new thing that we find that we have to wash everything constantly because we've been told that it's unhygienic not to. But actually, is it? I mean, I'm, you know, prove me wrong. I'm just asking the question, you know.
And same, you know, we have to like wash our hair every day, or whatever it is, we've added more to-dos and tasks
Yeah.
and busyness. So I would encourage anyone to think about, like, what's one thing that you could do less, or one thing that maybe you don't need to do anymore, full stop. Or for me, I still have my out of office on my emails are still saying I'm on maternity leave, and then I just respond to the ones that I want.
Well done. Well, yeah. I mean, it is very important, isn't it, to not feel pressurized into doing certain tasks. The email thing, I'm with you. I have allowed myself now, it's taken a while, but these days I allow myself not to answer every email as soon as it comes in.
Yes, or full stop.
Yeah, or full stop.
When I get like, because my email's public, I guess, in certain places, when I get cold pictures or whatever, I used to respond, no, now I just spam them. I'm like, no harm. Like, spam, I've not asked for this
Yeah.
email. I don't want it to come again. I'm not replying and explaining, which I think is like a very learned thing as women. Like, oh, I just want to explain. I don't want anyone
Oh,
to
yeah.
feel bad. And now I'm like, they're not going to feel bad. They've probably sent that to 1,000 people. They're not even going to know.
Exactly so. And I've had to stop myself recently as well, doing that very thing, right? Sort of, you know, replying, saying, no, thank you. You know, that's not, no, just leave it. Don't stop to stop wasting your time here, you know.
Let's speak about wasting time.
Okay, good.
Because that for me is the entry point in my work. I have an opt-in on my homepage, like the 4 steps to stop wasting time. And a lot of what people speak about when it comes to not wasting time is planning the night before, writing down the list, like waking up at 5 a.m. to get an extra hour in the day. All these things that aren't feasible for all of us, aren't working for many of us, and are actually giving us another job to do. Managing time should not be your job title, like under your job description.
Yeah.
Whereas what I teach, and I won't go too into all of it, but the biggest time wasters actually are is the time we spend putting ourselves down, or the time we spend worrying what people think, or the time we spend thinking about what we should have done differently yesterday when we can't actually do anything differently about it. And it's like, what did I say the other day? Like, it's not our phones and our kids that are the biggest distractions. It's our fears and our worries and our doubts, right? Like,
Yeah.
Time management is actually mind management. It's emotional management. That's what we need to be working on.
Oh, that is so interesting. And it takes me back again, going back into the business world. You have people who start up businesses, entrepreneurs, right? And some of them really do very well, some of them don't. We've all got the same amount of time.
Yes.
So what is the difference between the successful and the not so successful? Is it that, oh, they've just built a stronger team around them and, they've got, better access to whatever? Or is it the fact that they just are very clear, don't waste their time on thinking of the whys and what, what fors and can I or can't I's, and that they just go for it?
Yeah, I think you're right in that access can be a play for sure. But I also think, I mean, I'll tell you, we closed the business before the coaching business, and we should have closed it a long time before. But the problem is, I will put myself in rooms and apply for things that I have no business applying for, and we ended up in these rooms. Me and my husband did it together, and it was a tech company, but neither of us are techie. I mean, it was an events tech company. Anyway, we had 300, 400 events over 18 months across two countries, which was amazing. But I was working 80-hour weeks. You know, we were overworking to make it happen because I was willing to do it all. And so I think, again, we ended up closing. It wasn't sustainable. I remember walking with him and saying, like, I'm so miserable. I'm so close. I'm so unhappy in my own life, but I love the business. But it came at this sacrifice. So I think there's like the willingness to do what other people won't, the willingness to ask the question, the willingness to hear the no's and to take the feedback, to take the learnings. But I think the reason why that business didn't succeed and ultimately we closed it was because there wasn't a willingness to rest. There wasn't a willingness to let go. There wasn't a willingness to trust. There wasn't a willingness to take care of myself as a CEO, as the asset, as an asset to the business. So I think the reason we succeed is those two things. Are you willing to face discomfort, and are you willing to balance that by creating comfort as well?
Oh, that's beautifully put, I think. Yeah. Are you willing to face discomfort, and are you willing to rest to balance that? Beautifully put. And I spoke to somebody, interviewed somebody recently who was saying something similar as well about, the successful business person. Rest is probably the most important thing, one of the most important things they thought in the whole process, being able to rest.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunately one of the most difficult things. I did something called Rest Week last year. Maybe I'll do it at the end of this year as well, where I taught people how to rest. And again, it was like so much guilt came up, so much shame came up, so many shoulds came up. I call it like a productivity detox. It's like you're purging all these unhelpful, indoctrinated, like, I don't want to say just capitalist, but you know, societal learnings that we've taken on, that the longer you work, the better you are, and hard work means long work, and hard work is morally superior, and you know, you should feel better when you've got something done in a day instead of doing nothing, and doing nothing is lazy, and if you're lazy, you're horrible, and all of these things. It really brings up, even for me, when I took that time off when I was pregnant, I faced a lot of, and I was already in this work, but I faced a lot of self-judgment and self-criticism and purging of these like indoctrinated beliefs where my worth was attached to my work and my output and what I was giving in the world and what I was doing in the world, instead of like we are inherently worthy and we get to create from that space, not for that space.
Now, that's a world I would dearly love to see for all of us, breaking out of that conditioning. For now, though, it's time for another commercial break to hear from our sponsors. Back with Vicky right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, and we pick up my conversation with Vicky Louise on how the concept of having to be busy all the time doesn't just affect people at work or in business.
And I'm thinking again of women who are maybe not in the workplace, right? Mm-hmm. And they're at home, but if they're not seen to be busy with children or whatever, you know, if somebody dropped by and found them with their feet up watching daytime telly or something or reading a book, they'd think, oh, you know, what on earth do you think you're doing kind of thing? You know, and you'd feel guilty about that because you're supposed to work all the time, no matter
I mean,
what.
I would high five it. I would be celebrating so much. We need more of that. That's it, exactly. We need brave women to do it, even though it feels bad, so the next generation doesn't feel bad about it.
Yes.
That's exactly it. And that was, for me, what made it easy for me, easier, was like, this feels terrible and I don't want any future women to feel terrible for not working, you know, in this situation or in any situation. So I'm going to not only do it and feel bad doing it, I'm going to be public about it. And I was quite public about, like, my undoing and my unlearning of doing is better and doing nothing. I spent 3 weeks basically in bed, terrified about moving my body because of what was going on with the baby.
Right. Yeah.
And like, yeah, it felt very uncomfortable, but it's, and now I have a healthy baby. So isn't that amazing?
Correct. Yes, absolutely. There should be no guilt around that at all. But we are so conditioned. And it's like you say, no matter what we're doing,
yeah,
if we're busy,
yeah,
we have to balance that with rest. And also, I think we need to, you know, you may not agree with me, but I think we need to get out of this idea that everything has to be done at a certain time.
A million percent.
Bless. Yeah, because as long as it gets done in a timely fashion, who cares whether it gets, you know, why put constraints on these things?
Yeah. I always say, like, deadlines are a tool for us. We're not a tool for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We set a deadline. So if we want to, because it gives us, maybe it helps us prioritize or whatever it might be.
It does for me. I know it does for me. Yeah.
Which is amazing. But if the deadline is tomorrow and you're sick today, you don't push through. Because the deadline is there, because you made up the deadline. Even if your boss made up the deadline, like I say to my clients so often, like, you know, you're not heart surgeons, no lives are on the line, right? In the last year, I pushed back 5 times different things. I'm like, this is going to start on this date. No, it's not. It's going to start on this date. No, it's not. It's going to start on this date. Because for me, coming back to work after a baby, I completely underestimated the whole experience for myself.
Yeah.
And because I work for myself, I have that flexibility to do so. And it's something I want to be an example of. So, you know, something that was going to start in September didn't start until last week. That's just like one thing that I'm thinking of.
And has anybody died as a result of that? No.
No. In fact, some people were like, oh, that's better for me.
Yes. Yes. You'd be surprised how often that happens, right? I know, it is extraordinary. So we're tied into these constraints, these boxes of time that we've been, you know, conditioned to believe are the way we have to live, but we don't have to live that way. So whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're working 9 to 5, whether you're working for a company, or you're not working at all, or you're a very busy person looking after family or looking after loved ones, whether you're a carer for a family member. What would you say as a general rule of thumb to anybody who wants to just really, you know, do some of these time hacks? What's the first thing you would say to somebody?
Yeah, it's come up a few times today, but I'm going to say it in a different way today, which is like, things don't take time. And what I mean by that is, for some people listening, their starting point is finding 3 minutes for themselves. It's not like, I think we used to think, oh, you know, you have to go to the gym for an hour to be effective. Yeah. And now people are coming out with these like 10-minute trainings that are proving to help with fitness a lot more. So for me, a few years ago, I've not actually done yoga properly since I had the baby yet, but I decided I wanted to do yoga, but I just did 10 minutes. I was like, I'm only doing 10 minutes. Even when I think I can do more, I'm still only doing 10 minutes because I don't want it to be something that I chase and measure and try and make myself better and better. And it meant it was super easy to always do it. Like, even if it was like, oh shit, it's 3 o'clock and I haven't done it, I could still find the time to do it. So I really recommend, for some people, it might be the thing that you can do for you is like have a cup of coffee and just like sit with it and just enjoy it without your phone, without any distractions. For someone else, it might be like put on one song that you love, a song that you love, and just connect to your body and like, you know, in that way that it moves a little bit without you really trying. Like, rest doesn't mean sleep all the time. It's how I define rest is when you are not resisting the moment you are in. That's why, you know, so many things can be restful. But when we are busy and swamped and behind, nothing is restful. So Pick one thing. What's one thing that you can get behind, not resisting and maybe enjoying, and let it just be for a few minutes? I think the song one is the easiest one that I would recommend for people to start with, because it's so fun. It really is, to just listen to one song that you enjoy, close your eyes and just like feel it.
Yeah, and music can be so transformative as well, so healing as well. So what a great idea. And I love the way that you talk about rest being where you are not resisting, where you're in a moment of no resistance. That's so beautifully put. And it doesn't mean that we have to sleep all the time. A power nap in the afternoon might be your thing, but it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah, I mean, I love naps. I love bed. I will hang out there. I will work from there. I love it. But for some people, they're like, the idea of a nap is laughable in my life right now. And in fact, you saying that makes me feel worse about myself. So I just think we want to encourage people to just start something and not judge and compare to, well, I would love to have 3 hours off or 3 hours nap every day, but I can't. Okay, what can you do? What's one thing that you could do today instead of our brain, which wants to focus on what we can't do?
Yeah, there's an awful lot of that focusing on what we can't do. But it's very difficult for a lot of people to get out of that habit, isn't it? And that's another one that would come into your category of time wasters.
Yes, exactly. And another one that comes into like why part of time hacking is actually changing how your brain thinks and disassociating yourself. Like, you are not your thoughts. You are not your brain. You are not the sentences that it tells you. And we just want to remember that a part of our brain, I call it my cavewoman, she has evolved for survival in the wild. She has not evolved for modern day living, where I live with four walls around me and have a fridge of food and cold water on demand. So we just want to remember that she's going to want us to avoid change. She's going to want us to not rock the boat or do anything different, because that kind of thing got you killed when, you know, living in the wild.
Yes, that's true. But I have to say that I have suffered from all of these things that we've talked about in the past. But in my ripe old age, I'm gradually getting to the point where I am listening to my body. I am taking rest, just taking time out. I do not pay attention to what other people expect in terms of when I should be working or what I should be doing. I've gone past all of that. Maybe that's the benefit of old age. I don't know. But
I just want to be careful there that you're not giving time as an age to credit.
Done. Well spotted. Yeah, well spotted there. And actually, this is from somebody who says age doesn't mean anything. We don't, you know, it's got nothing to do with anything. You know, you don't even talk to me about how old I am. You know, I don't feel it. I don't act like it, I don't think. So it's irrelevant to me in a sense, but I do fall into that trap sometimes of using those phrases. Yeah, well spotted.
It's just exactly, that's what I would say to everyone, is we are just repeating phrases that we've been told. That's why it's so powerful, I think, to get in rooms or have conversations with people that are thinking how you want to think on purpose. Like I read something the other day that said your self-beliefs, those limiting beliefs, they're not yours. They're your parents, they're your peers, they're your partners. And it's just acknowledging that we repeat sentences. One of the things I said to my clients was, you know, was it, there's a phrase about a cart and buggy. Fell off the cart or fell off the buggy. I can't remember what it is, but we don't use a cart and buggy anymore.
No.
So why do we use that phrase? Just because it's been passed down. So
putting the cart before the horse.
Yes. There you go. So, but why do we still use it?
Yeah.
Because it's been passed down. We don't even mean it. We don't even tie into what it means. So it's the same thing sometimes with this, like, well, it's because of old age or because, you know, I've been doing this a long time or whatever people want to say around time. It's not true. It's just the explanation, the surface level explanation that we've been told to believe.
Yeah. Yes. And whose life are you living anyway? Are you living your own life? You're living somebody else's life.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, think about that as well. There's so many really, I thought, you know, really useful and interesting and really fascinating insights that you've given us today, Vicky. I'd love you to tell everybody where they can find out more about you. Are you running any courses? Are you running any workshops and that sort of thing in the near future? Do tell us.
Yes. Time Hackers is actually always open. So you can find out more about that at vickylouise.com/time-hackers. And also you might want to stop wasting time, because time lost is expensive to get back. So if we can stop wasting time, that's a great place to start. You can do that at vickylouise.com/guide. I also am on Instagram at Feminist Time Coach, and I have a podcast called Feminist Time, Productivity and Rest.
Lovely. All good things. Yeah. And I think, you know, if we can start to spread the word and show people how it can be done and can be done so much more gracefully, creatively and successfully, how we can live a much happier, more abundant, successful, creative life. If we just get out of the box, get out of the time box.
Yes, because what you said earlier, it's like we have this like one wild and wonderful life. And what is it made up of? Time. Like, let's enjoy our time. Let's not let it be taken from, you know, the mindset that busy is better, or the mindset that we are here to be productive and die, and the mindset that rest is lazy and all of that stuff. I really encourage everyone listening to just really think, like, it's your life, it's your time. It's the most precious commodity we have. And when things don't take time, you'll be amazed at what you are able to do, instead of saying, oh, you know, the time has passed for me, I'm too late to do this thing, or I'm too busy to do this thing. Like, what if you could do what you really wanted in this life?
Well, I'll certainly be taking a lot of that advice on board, I have to say, and minding my language from now on a lot more than I already do, and noticing when I start using these time phrases and just, you know, stopping myself and checking, what does that really mean? What am I really saying here? Because, you know, is that impacting my life in a way that I don't want? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm so pleased that you joined us today. Thank you so much. Enjoy your baby and rest times with your baby. it sounds like you know what you're doing there, and I wish you all the best with it. And I do recommend anybody getting in touch with you if they want to find out a bit more about the whole notion of time hacking. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun. I really appreciate you inviting me on.
So interesting. Now, what are all your time wasters? And are you strong enough to put your health first and model a new way of working that fits your natural rhythm more than the 9-to-5? What time hacks will you be implementing to improve your well-being and productivity? I know I'll be minding my language and noting where that might be disempowering me, at times anyway. And on that note, it's sadly time to leave you now, as we've come to the end of the show. I hope you'll join me again here on Alchemy 101 and UK Health Radio for more inspirational guests. Remember, we're on the world's favourite podcast channels now too. So if you're listening to the podcast and you like what you hear, do subscribe and share this episode. And it would be amazing if you could leave a review. It not only helps us, but hopefully others who might find the information useful. You can also download this show from the Alchemy 101 page at ukhealthradio.com. And why not check out our sister publication, Health Triangle Magazine, while you're on the website too. I look forward to being with you again here soon, but until that next time, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.